wake up.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good morning to you, SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio. Tony D, Ron Culver. So when the football season does get really going, the New England Patriots are going to have a new kicker. Yeah, they'll have a new quarterback. I know that. Don't get me wrong. I got that down. But they're also going to need a new kicker. Because after 14 seasons, Steven Goskowski is out. He has been cut. It's going to save him $4.8 million against the cap, a salary cap move by Belichick at the Patriots. This is the all-time leading points person in franchise history. Leads to see 1,775 points for Goskowski. Here's my problem. And again, I don't follow the Patriots every day. He's made some really great clutch kicks, all of that. But you know what? What comes to mind? This is bad. This is really bad. The first thing that comes to mind with Goskowski to me was the extra point that he missed in the AFC Championship game against the Broncos, where the Patriots, who got Tom Brady got beat up against that Bronco defense in the AFC Championship game in 2016, so the 2015 season. Goskowski misses an extra point that forces the Patriots at the end of that game, as Brady got a touchdown to cut the deficit to two, to go for 2 points, in which Brady then had the ball tipped, his pass in the end zone tipped that later was intercepted, that was sealed the victory for the Denver Broncos and went on to Super Bowl 50. Now, you don't know what would have happened. It could have, you know, they could have kicked the point to tie it, and then Broncos at home may have won it. I don't know. But it's kind of sad. 14 years, 1,700 points, 1,775 to be exact. A long tenure replacing Adam Vinatieri, 14 seasons, as I mentioned. And this is the one thing I remember him for. I'm sure there is a list, a huge list of some great kicks that guy has made in his Patriots career. And I feel terrible. I feel terrible that the one thing I remember is the missed extra point that forced the Patriots to go for two in an AFC title game. In a game in which, I mean, I kid you not, they were peeling Tom Brady off the floor. And he was just coming. He kept coming after those Denver Broncos. One of the gutsiest quarterback performances I have seen from a guy post 35. It is SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And again, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. Ron with two N's in this portion of SB Nation Radio is brought in part by Hims, the best choice for ED medication and men's wellness. Visit forhims.com/easy. That's forhims.com/easy. Speaking of the Patriots, so Steven Goskowski got cut. Of course, they're going to be looking for a new quarterback. Brian Hoyer is making his third stint with the team. So I watched another Peyton Places yesterday because, you know, why not? What else am I going to be doing? Not only am I quarantined, the weather is crappy here in Nashville. It's nasty.
Yeah, that's how it was this weekend.
I haven't seen the sun. It's like enough with the rain and the dampness and the cloudy skies. Look, coronavirus, is there any way you can just give us warm weather? I know you don't control these kind of things. But control it.
I thought corona meant sun.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Like, let me just walk around my backyard or sit out in the patio by myself and get some sun. It's dark and gloomy. I hate it.
That's how it was all weekend for us. It was just cloudy, rainy, miserable. It was like you couldn't tell when a rainstorm was coming or not. And it wasn't great weather. It wasn't warm weather.
Yeah, I want to mow my lawn. I want to do some projects outside. I can't. So anyway,
I watched the quarantine.
That's right. Exactly. So I watched Peyton Places, and this is really good. I said this yesterday. Peyton, you're probably going to hear me talk more about these because I'm going to probably watch all of them. He's really good at television. He's got that sense of humor. He doesn't take himself all that seriously. So I watched the episode in which him and Tom Brady had a show together. They had a moment together talking about their rivalry, but they set it up as if those two guys were at Pebble Beach and they broke into Jim Nance's house to play his backyard replica of the whole seventh hole at Pebble Beach, 55-yard little chip hole in the backyard. It was fun. I mean, those two guys had a good time reminiscing and talking about their rivalry and just sharing a couple of moments. And it was mostly Peyton interviewing Tom. It was not just two guys talking about their careers, but it was Peyton talking to Tom about his longevity, playing for Belichick, coming in from Michigan, trading time with Drew Henson while he was with the Wolverines, and then getting to go in when Drew Bledsoe got hit and taking advantage of that opportunity. And Brady says he tells that to everybody now. You got to play well when you get your chance, because this league will not allow you sometimes to have a second chance. Sometimes you go in, you don't do so well, and you're never heard from again. But they were both talking about, again, some of the great games, some of the players that they shared, like Wes Welker and a couple of other players who have played for both the Patriots and the Colts/Broncos. But this is why I like Manning a lot. And this is why I think he's really good at TV, because he knows where his legacy is, right? He knows he's one of the greatest quarterbacks to have ever played the game. He knows that. But he also he loves football so much that he likes being the part of the history of the sport, and he doesn't mind self-deprecating humor. And it's very refreshing to see athletes of his magnitude have self-deprecating humor as to things they did. It's one thing like when Phil Mickelson made joke about his weight or something, but Mickelson doesn't joke about his bad golf shots, right? Mickelson doesn't really talk a lot about his failures. Right. He may make a quip or two about finishing second at an open. He did once with Tiger in an intro that's very classic, where they listed all of Tiger's accomplishments before they teed off at a tournament. And Phil said, yeah. And everybody laughed and had a good moment. But there was a moment where Brady was talking about playing against Ed Reed and how good Ed Reed was. You know, he was so fast to the football. And Manning said, you know, he had the same trouble with Ed Reed. And Brady said, I know, he knew where you were going before you knew where you were going. And that's what made him so good. And Manning had a great line. And I hope that when that day comes, that they will actually put this in, because I think both of these gentlemen would enjoy it. Manning had a line, which I think was really funny. He said, when Ed Reed goes to the Hall of Fame, we're going to be in that tribute video a lot. And I thought that was great, the fact that both of them threw some interceptions to Ed Reed, some critical interceptions. So if I'm making the Ed Reed tribute video when he goes to the Hall of Fame, that's what I would do. I would make sure Manning and Brady were prominently displayed, because I think both guys would get a kick out of it. But it was refreshing to hear that from those two guys, how great they are and how awesome they are. But they also gave credit to the defense, but you know, some of the tough guys that they played against.
That is funny.
It's just great. It's really great. And it was a really great, it was really great to hear both of them they're older now. There was a moment, it was funny. Brady talked about the first time he met Peyton Manning, right? And he goes, I remember the first time I met you. He goes, first game we played, come out it was that first year, and he comes out, and he goes, you said, hi, I'm Peyton Manning. And I'm like, yeah, no beep. Because I know who you are. And Peyton goes, well, I like to introduce myself with my full name, regardless. I like to just say when I introduce. And Brady goes, yeah, but I knew who you were. It was neat. It was neat to sort of have Brady remember a time in his career where he looked up to Peyton and admired Peyton and couldn't believe he was being introduced to Peyton Manning.
Can those two do like a traveling roadshow?
I know. It was great.
Like,
it was really great.
Different places and then get suckered into telling football stories.
It was very good. I mean, for both of them, Manning is the more natural. Brady is a little stiffy, but he brings out Manning. Brought it out of Brady before. It was excellent. I'm looking forward to more of these, because he, like I said yesterday with the Immaculate Reception one, where he could get players to really talk about it. He could get guys to open up about it and whatnot. It was because he's Peyton Manning.
Did he get
right?
anyone to tell the truth about it?
Well, that was the thing. They never really came to the truth.
Of course,
because there's all these questions about the Immaculate Reception. Did Franco trap it? Did Frenchie Fokwit hit it? Like, there's all, who did they call? Was this even a legal play? I mean, all of these things. things. But one of the things that the that documentary showed was there was a fan, a Steeler fan, who got the football. And I had always heard this, but I never knew any more about it, that, you know, where's the football? A fan actually got it, because they used the same football to kick the extra point, and there was no net, so it just went into the stands, and a guy got it. And I always heard that story, but it was nice to see that the guy, he actually has it in a huge vault in some store he has, just this gigantic, like, bank vault that you got to spin the wheel, you know, and open up.
Is it still there, or did it resurrect itself and become somewhere else? Much like other things that have happened immaculately.
Oh, that's, yeah, right? Good point. You know, that's a good one. Yeah.
Kind of like moving the stone. I don't know.
Good job.
You know, throwing a little Easter at you.
Good job. And so the guy shows Peyton Manning the football, and Manning says, look, we don't know for sure if this is the football, but it's kind of been the lore that it is. But he told him, he says, only a very few amount of people have gotten to touch this football, and you're going to be one of them. And Manning held that 1972 football.
So, I mean, if you think about it, you could probably, if you can get your hands on a 1972 NFL football, you could throw it in a big-ass vault, too, and go, hey,
yeah,
guess what I got in here.
There can't be any. You're exactly right. That's the other thing that I thought of. It's like, we're not 100% sure this is.
No, we're not.
Right? You know?
We're just going off this guy's word. How do we know? He could have just had a vault in his house. He could have been a vault salesman.
They asked him, Peyton asked him how many has he ever gotten it valued? And he says, somebody told him once in New York it would be worth $3 million. I doubt you could sell it, because you can't validate it. You can't prove that it was the football. I don't think you could ever sell it. I think if somebody bought it, there might be a sucker that bought it, but maybe it isn't. You don't know. There's no authenticated certificate on it, you know?
Two things. One, there's always going to be a sucker that will buy something like that.
Sure, absolutely. Always
the second
been,
thing
yeah.
is, could you find a way to validate it if you look back at the tape and you're able to, I mean, there's probably
it's a good question.
Other camera angles where you can see the person catching it and verify it that way?
Here's how I would answer that. The tape has been so analyzed as to determine whether or not the play is real. I think it's hard to figure out if the ball, what markings on the ball would make it real. So it's they had all sorts of different footage, but it wasn't like today.
Right. And there's no high def. There was no spider cam back then.
Is the only, would Franco's fingerprints still be on it? But no. Again, it would, could be, there's even then you'd be like, that could be a ball from another Steeler game that Franco had, where he rushed the ball for 30 times. There's no way.
No identifying. To determine it,
but it's in some vault. He makes a good point. He said, print the legend. Just make this the football. Nobody knows for sure, but just let it be the football.
What if it was like the referee? If you like a referee realizing what it was, threw it to a ball boy and say, hey,
right.
Put that in my locker.
Put this. I know this is going to go down in history.
Yeah.
Who's the guy? Is it Todd McFarlane? Please forgive me if I got this wrong. Todd McFarlane, the guy who buys all the baseballs. He's the guy who created the comic book.
I have no idea.
Okay. Please forgive me if I've got this wrong, but I think it's Todd McFarlane. He's a comic book guy, and he buys the baseballs. Like, he wants the historic baseballs. You know, Mark McGwire's ball and Sammy Sosa's ball and Barry Bonds' ball and all of this stuff. There's got to be a process. If he's investing that kind of money, they say he's put some millions into this collection. It's got to be a process to verify that. That this was indeed the 700.
Yes, you're right. Todd McFarlane.
Yeah. There's got to be an author. You know, somebody goes, hey, I got the home run ball of X player.
Well, he paid $3 million for Mark McGwire's 70th home run. He paid $500,000 for Barry Bonds' record breaking 73rd home run.
What do you do with these things?
Seriously, guess you have them on display.
But, you know, I think it's a bad investment, right? Is that a bad investment? Because when you buy a $100 million Monet, that's $100 million Monet. You don't wake up one day and go, "Holy cow! That painting is now worth $10."
Funny enough, this article is from August 8, 2007.
Wow. When you pay $3 million for the McGwire ball, and now we all know it's steroids, and it's not even the record breaker anymore.
It depreciated, didn't it?
Like, that's not you. If you were to sell that, like if you went to your accountant and he was tallying up your assets. Well, he wouldn't value that at $3 million.
Okay, but not only that. So you bought Mark McGwire's 70th home run ball for $3 million, and then about 5 years later is when Barry Bonds broke it.
Yeah.
And so you bought Barry Bonds 73rd for $500,000. So what does that tell you about the 70th?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Exactly. With $3 million for a baseball, yeah. It's got to be nowhere near that now.
Because this article is all about, so are you fired up about number 756?
Right. Wow.
Well, yeah, and somebody ask him, does the steroid controversy matter? And he says, it matters to some people. Does it matter to me? Not really.
No, and maybe he just went like, look, I got the money and $3 million. When I look at my case and I see that I have the ball, it makes me happy. All right, so sue me. I mean, that's what I want.
But he says, but I'm thinking 20 years in the future. This doesn't matter. You can bellyache all you want, public. It's still going to be in the record book. Get over it.
Yeah, I guess.
Which is true. But I mean, is it do these balls depreciate because you have two iconic balls of players who aren't in the Hall of Fame?
That's right.
And Mark McGwire will never be in the Hall of Fame unless he gets a senior vote when he's probably long and gone.
And a record we don't revere anymore. We don't look at those guys and say they are the best of the best of the best.
Well, not only that, but we've kind of devalued it too, to the point of, if you get 500 home runs, it used to be your automatic ticket into the Hall of Fame.
Exactly.
Now you're like, it's 500.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Do something special.
Good point. Again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. Again, that's Ron with two N's. Good, the bad, and the dumb. That's coming up in 15 minutes. You don't want to miss that. It's SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, O'Reilly Auto Parts will make your auto repair, maintenance, and restoration projects easier, so when your car isn't stopping like it used to, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the parts and supplies you need to get the job done the first time. Now, for a limited time, save 15% when you buy any set of Brake Best pads and two Brake Best rotors. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. So as we continue along this morning, Travis Frederick announced his retirement from the NFL. He's 29 years old, Dallas Cowboys Pro Bowl center. And you might remember his story, because how could you forget the 2013 draft when Jerry Jones chose Travis Frederick in the first round? You know how we all remember that? Because everybody went crazy saying that they didn't know what they were doing. Jerry's an idiot. How could you possibly draft this guy in the first round out of Wisconsin and give it to Travis Frederick? He didn't listen to any of that nonsense and became a five-time Pro Bowler. And in one of the seasons, he played seven seasons in the NFL. He had to miss an entire year because he has a medical situation. Guillain-Barré syndrome, which is an autoimmune deficiency disease that affects the nervous system, and it cost him the entire 2018 season. But then he came back and started every game last year for Dallas. Again, five-time Pro Bowler, and has been a starter since day one, and any time that he's played for the Cowboys, meaning he wasn't on the sideline injured or out of commission, every time he saw action in a Cowboys game, he's started. And he's made the most of this. He made Jerry Jones draft smart with this pick. Because we like to beat Jerry up a lot. We really do. This one was certainly one of those picks. There were some more needs on the Cowboys. This seemed ridiculous. He wasn't graded out as a first rounder by some. And the Cowboys got skewered for this. And he turned out to be a fantastic pick. Not only did he turn out to be fantastic, he became part of an incredible offensive line that Dallas has not been able to utilize towards a championship run. So Travis Frederick retiring at the age of 29. And his situation might be just a little different given his situation, his medical situation. But if you were to take everybody's medical situation, meaning hurts and injuries and how they feel post-injury, he becomes yet another player under the age of 30 who got into this league and got out of this league. Right now, every story, whether it's Rob Gronkowski or anybody else, everybody's story is a little bit different, but they're all kind of in the same boat. Got in, made my money, played, got enough out of it, realized what the future held, and pulled back out and got out and now will go on to do something else with his life. And that is so different than other sports, because what makes Tom Brady, for example, so such an interesting football player is how badly he wants to cling on being a football player. Now, he plays a different position where they've actually changed a lot of the rules so he can minimize the sort of impact that he feels in a game at different, you know, the way he gets hit, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, Frederick is on the offensive line getting hit every single play. But this league, you see guys trying to get out intact in some sort of, you know, in some sort of better, you know, some sort of shape that they know that they got a long life ahead of them. And they want to feel better in their 30s than they do in their 20s. And that we don't see that in other sports. We see guys trying desperately to get in the NBA and Major League Baseball. And I know it's a different kind of apples and oranges in terms of physicality, but we see other sports where guys try to hang on just as long as they possibly can. And in the NFL, some guys are making the choice to go, yep, I could continue, but I'd rather not. And so now Travis Frederick is one of them. But listen, I look at Travis Frederick as the guy that made Jerry Jones look smart, right? The guy that took the opportunity to show everybody how wrong they were for the criticism that the Cowboys had when they signed him. Because this organization was barbecued a bit when they picked Travis Frederick. And he made the most of it. And that it's a good story. And listen, if you've been following the Cowboys, it was one of those stories that you would notice every single year how good he was playing and how he would make the Pro Bowl and how important he was to the Cowboys offensive line. And you started going, you know what? Yeah, I remember this. I remember how bad Jerry Jones got it when this guy got drafted, how bad Jerry Jones took it. And now he not only is going to be, you know, he's gone off to his retirement. He's going to be severely missed for an organization that is trying to shore up a lot of things offensively right now, trying to give Dak Prescott an extension, got Amari Cooper on board, got Ezekiel Elliott on board, and now wants to continue that continuity on the offensive line, how good it's been. Right? Now Joe Looney's on board, right? He was the replacement in 2018. He just recently signed with the team, and now Travis Frederick, your Pro Bowler, is out, and now Joe Looney gets the opportunity to take over and be part of that offensive line to see how good it can be. But again, the Cowboys were barbecued and now they come out. And with this retirement, I think people are doing a lot of that retro. Yeah, you know what? Maybe he actually was so very, you know, valuable to the Cowboys. 29 years old, man. And, you know, and I want to pronounce it right. It's Guillain-Barré. I think it's how you pronounce it. I really want to make sure I get it. But it is an autoimmune deficiency, and it's a disease that affects the nervous system. And I remember reading that the first time. I was like nervous for him. It didn't sound good. I never thought he would play again after that.
Do you think it's that, or maybe he's reading the writing on the wall about the Cowboys? That's how we should take away from it, right?
Right. Just the
Cowboys
idea
are now imploding.
I don't want to deal with this anymore. You know, I always give credit to guys who suffer these kind of medical situations and they fight their way back.
Yeah,
he fought his way back.
It's really, I mean, it's remarkable. I mean, not only fought his way back, but was a premier center.
Yep, he really was.
How many years?
Yep.
I mean, that's
seven
incredible.
Seasons he was in the league. So you get it, and it does affect. It affects a lot of things. It affects again your nervous system, and you have problems with some of your muscles, and you got to build your strength back up. And imagine building your strength back up so you could go back and be an NFL starter. I mean, that's fantastic.
Not only that, but you know, your sole job is literally to take care of the biggest man on the line.
Yeah,
the
that's right.
Line.
That's right.
You know,
exactly.
I mean, your defensive ends, they're big boys, but they're not as big as that nose tackle.
Right. Right.
Nose tackle. I think in order for you to be a nose tackle, you have to weigh at least 350 plus.
Oh,
now.
I know. Goodness.
You just have to be a behemoth of a human being. And yeah, he has to rebuild his strength every single offseason to get to that point.
Yep.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Sometimes, I mean, look, I know we get, you know, look, the fun part of the draft, and this is something I don't ever want to take away from people. The fun part of the draft is ridiculing and making fun of people
who make
bad picks. Yeah, we all know the good picks, right? And those make sense. It's when the team makes a pick that you go, wait a minute. But oh, I think if you pull yourself back for a second, you really ought to, you go, yeah, let's see if this works out. But you don't want to see if it works out. You want to make the criticism that then and there. It's part of the fun of doing this. Travis Frederick and the Dallas Cowboys certainly heard theirs in 2013. And I'm glad in 2020, as he heads off to retirement, everybody was proven wrong about how he played the game, because he played it very well.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it's good, the bad, and the dumb here on a Tuesday, SB Nation AM. All right, let's get started with the good of the day.
Oh, yeah, you got to check it out. There's a viral videos going around of Kentucky fans.
I saw this.
And I'm a little upset we didn't bring it up yesterday.
I know.
So I brought it up today. But Kentucky parents, not just fans, parents over the weekend kind of initiated their children into the We Hate Duke, We Hate Christian Laettner lore.
This is somewhat brilliant and somewhat sadistic at the same time.
Oh, completely sadistic.
Right?
But yes, brilliant.
Brilliant, because you do want to pass that along to a new generation every possible chance you get.
So
that the Laettner hate never leaves the Bluegrass State.
Yeah, so but for the video, for your purposes, if you have not seen it, there's one thing where you can there's a way you can tell your kids about the hatred. Or, you know, and what this video proves is that there's a way to just have them burn with it.
Sure.
And that's what this video shows. You know, I mean, you and I can sit there. We can tell everyone why Kentucky, you know, if we're a Kentucky fan, your brother is a Kentucky fan, right?
Yep. Went to school there.
So he could tell you why he hates Duke. But if he's able to show you why and make you think that this is happening live, which is the best part about it.
That's the best part.
Because over the weekend, we mentioned this yesterday, CBS was showing classic games. One of those games happens to be the Christian Laettner shot. I don't even, there's a name for it, right?
I think it's just called The Shot.
The Shot?
Yeah.
So, and you know, everyone knows what that is. So a lot of Kentucky parents were filming, were watching this game, which in the first place, why are you doing that while you're quarantined at home?
That's another thing.
I don't think there's enough alcohol in the house for you, right?
I'm not even a Kentucky fan, and I didn't really want to watch most of that because I don't like Duke, and I didn't like their success back then. So I was just like, not this one. Seen this too many times.
But yeah, so parents started filming their kids knowing that the shot was coming.
How great is this?
And you just see these kids like all excited. There's one where this kid's like, well, it's tied, right? It's not over. It's not over, right?
And they were like, no, it's done. They lost.
Yeah.
The team you're rooting for and you love lost.
Yes.
They're terrible.
See that guy? You should hate him.
Now we're going to talk about that individual right here as I pause it while he's got his arms extended and his face elated and the Duke cheerleaders are jumping up behind him.
Yeah.
Okay, this man right here is the guy you need to dislike for the rest of your life. That's who we're talking about.
Let's rewind a little bit. You'll see him stomp on your favorite player's
chest. That's right. Now, him right there should have been kicked out of the game, but he wasn't kicked out of the game. You know why? Because that's one of the reasons you should hate him. Oh, this is perfect.
Because he's privileged. That's why it's good.
That is true.
It's good. Maybe it's the sadistic part of me because I wish there was something like that I could show my kids, but there isn't.
Yeah, why aren't we doing this now since we're all quarantined? Why don't we take our little ones and show them the most painful moments
in our sports history?
If you say, like, we're a Georgia household, like, show them video games of bad of the, you know, Alabama winning the national championship on that big Tua throw and go, all right, see that? We're not going to be liking that anymore or something along those lines. Why aren't we should be having this all over the country in every sport.
I'm trying to think of a moment for me. I guess the only one I can really remember where I was just deflated and it really like hit me for at least an hour or two was when USA, Team USA lost against Belgium in the World Cup.
Okay.
Because that game, I mean, they played great and it went into extra times.
But you don't hate Belgium.
I don't hate Belgium. Belgium was a great team that
year. Right, so you've got to find the game that you can showcase and build the hate for your opposition.
See, I mean, I hate the Raiders, but for the longest, I mean, the Chargers never had any issues with the
Raiders.
That's
right.
And then when they finally, when the Chargers did start having issues with the Raiders, there's no... There's no, oh my God, I can't believe that team did it to me.
And that's exactly right. That's exactly right. So you need to be in a real hated rivalry. You need to have one of the most iconic moments in sports that you can build that hatred.
There's not many, are there?
Not really. Not really. I mean, look, I'm sure like at Alabama-Auburn that's going on right now, like anyway, you don't really have to do that.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Maybe what Yankees-Red Sox?
Yankees-Red Sox?
You know, if you just go back and say, yeah, we're just going to replay game 4, 5, 6, and 7.
Right. Like, what if you showed
and
a Red
the
Sox?
Yankees couldn't close that one out.
See, the other thing, too, is, though, if you have a 4-year-old, he probably, in Boston, he probably already knows how awesome everything is Red Sox-wise.
Well, city-wise.
City-wise, right? He's like, this is great.
You know,
thanks, Dad, for showing me this Aaron Boone game from 100 years ago. But you know what? We seem to got over that pretty well.
Yeah, I saw something the other day. A guy was being interviewed about Tom Brady. It was, El Presidente from Barstool Sports, the guy who founded it all.
Right.
He was being interviewed. And the interviewer asked him about Tom Brady moving, and he's like, "Are you trying to get me to cry? You know, just having fun with it." And he goes, "The writing was on the wall. They're not even upset that Brady's gone.
Thank you, Tom Brady signs now. I mean, people are just
got
like,
what we needed.
You can't have it forever, right? You know,
exactly.
You're not going to have it forever. It comes and goes. Look." Well, you know, I mean, the 80s Celtics Lakers were great, but there was a point where Larry couldn't walk anymore, right? I mean, Larry couldn't play as well as he used to, right? Eventually, here come the Pistons, and eventually here come the Bulls, like in the Eastern Conference. It was, you know, you enjoy it while you have it, and you get everything out of it that you can, but it can't last forever. And Brady moves on, you go, that's great. I got 6 Super Bowl championships out of this,
But we're talking team again. I mean, this is Kentucky literally just hating Duke or
That's
hating
right.
Christian Laettner.
Christian Laettner.
And so,
That's
but
right.
that was, check it out. It's all
it's really
over,
funny.
All over your social media. Just check it out. It's fantastic.
All right. What's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is Brazilian soccer star Hulk.
Yes. Hulk. I know who that is.
That is his actual name. He got married over the weekend.
Good for him.
Because he lives in China. He wanted to keep his wife in China with him, so he got married over the weekend.
Good for him.
Yeah, well, maybe not.
Was he doing it in a huge ceremony where they said no coronavirus here?
No, he apparently is now married to his ex-wife's niece.
All right, that doesn't sound very good.
That's going to make family reunions kind of hard.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like it's worth the trouble.
Yeah, so he had split with his ex-wife 3 months ago. So quick turnaround, quick rebound for
oh my
for
God, that doesn't sound like it's I'm single. I wonder who's available for me to date. It mostly sounds like, wait a minute, I'd rather have you until I can get rid of this one.
I'm sorry, let me back this up. He left the mother of his 3 children last July after a 12-year relationship. So 12 years.
Okay, so he's had some time.
And then he started dating her niece 3 months ago. Her niece, her niece.
Gotcha.
Which technically, I guess, in a way, is his niece. I mean, he was probably there the day she was born.
Well, I wish him a fruitful and happy marriage as best as that could possibly be under his circumstances.
I just, you know what, if they don't get together and show some sort of family reunion, it's not worth it to me.
Yeah, that's exactly
we
right.
I need to see family reunion. I need to see him introducing, or actually, I guess not him introducing it to his family, because that's fine, but she needs to introduce him to her family, because that would be, that would be her aunt's sister.
I'm getting confused.
If she decides to show him off to mom, right, that would be her aunt's sister.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, obviously, they've met before, you would think, you would assume.
You would assume.
God. It's crazy.
That is crazy.
I don't know how you get to that point.
Well, let's get to the dumb of the day. So after I figure out how Hulk's family Christmas card is going to look like.
The dumb of the day is one of the dumbest sports takes I think I've ever heard.
Oh, I like this.
Yeah. Brady Popinga.
All right.
Or Popinga. I don't know. He was an ex-linebacker, played in the NFL for a while. He had played for LSU.
Okay.
I mean, not LSU, BYU.
Oh, BYU. Okay.
And so he was on a BYU sports talk show and had this take. Lamar Jackson is the poor man's Taysom Hill.
Oh, that's a terrible take.
It's not the other way around. That's what we have in Taysom. That's why the Saints aren't messing around. He eventually will be taken care of.
So, well, Taysom Hill did go to BYU, so this is a very
this is a very homer take. Yeah.
This is to an audience that would love to believe all the awesomeness of Taysom Hill.
Yep.
So he's playing to their love for Taysom Hill.
Right. So maybe that's his angle, but the problem is that the host of the show, which is what was his name? His name was Benjamin Criddle.
Okay.
Decided to put this on his Twitter and decided to, you know, bring it to the national attention.
So instead of it being more of a contained sort of BYU-oriented thing, he brought it out to the nation, and now this guy should be getting skewered for making the comment that Lamar Jackson is a poor man's Taysom Hill.
Lamar Jackson
the MVP of the league.
Yeah, exactly.
Is not even close to the level of Taysom Hill. And what he can bring to the table?
Is a poor man's Taysom
Hill. Poor man's Taysom Hill. Ouch.
All right. I don't know if that's the soapbox I'd stand on.
That's a terrible take, man. That is a terrible take.
It might be one of the dumbest ones of the year.
I know. And we've had several. That is
atrocious. We've had several. We have a long, as much as we've learned about 2020. We're only in March.
I know. Unreal.
So there's a long amount of sports takes to come.
Yeah, because that's what people are going to be starting to do now. Like, you're absolutely right. In this time of sports taking a hiatus, we're going to get more and more people going, I'll tell you what, I don't think Tom Brady's in my top 25 quarterbacks of all time.
Exactly. Why would he be?
You've never seen Kenny Anderson play for the Cincinnati Bengals. Well, I'll tell you right now, he's as good as Brady, if not better. And then people are going to lose their minds. That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen.
You know who didn't get the credit they deserve? Frank Reich.
Frank Reich. He did not get the credit they deserve.
Did you see the comeback he led?
I know.
And then just be tossed aside once again for Jim Kelly?
It always reminds me, and I keep bringing this up, when I get closer and closer to the NFL draft, inevitably I get some email or some text or something or some phone call from a guy that's like, you all like Joe Burrow, but you haven't seen Joe Smith, this running back out of Shorter University. Like, there's always somebody that thinks some Division II player should be the number one pick in the draft because you've never heard of him and he has. That, you know, and you're going to see a ton of that over the next couple of months. You're right.
Yep.
Poor man Taysom Hill. I bet he was thinking to himself, I'm scoring a ton of points. I'm winning my BYU crowd.
Honestly, yeah, I think
my brethren.
I think he was thinking, it's like, you know what, Provo, I'm not going to have to buy a drink in Provo.
Yeah, that's right. No. I'm calling Taysom Hill the best thing since sliced bread.
Yeah, I don't even know if Taysom Hill would agree with this.
I don't think so either.
He's probably sitting there like, you guys, yes, I want a starting gig much like the next person. I think I deserve it, but...
Well, let's hold your roll here.
Did you see Lamar Jackson this year?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know, he's putting ankle stickers on his helmets.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. That's the good, the bad, the dumb on a Tuesday, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. I was talking about this yesterday, and I really continue to hope every single day as we get closer and closer to it in 1 month that the NFL draft just continues the course of it is going to go on. It is just going to go on differently. I hope there isn't this pull to just shut it down just because they should shut it down. I don't think it's insensitive. I don't think there is some sort of, you know, feeling like, well, nobody else is doing anything. Maybe we should not do anything. You know you can do it. You know you can help hold the draft, make news from the draft, continue your business. Yes, when you get to reporting, when you get all of those things, when you get to guys reporting to training camp, then you've got to follow with where we are in the country when it comes to this virus. But I understand that the critics came out yesterday. I told you this story. We said, look, the NFL does plan to hold a studio show, cut-ins to teams making selections for that weekend. But the critics came out. They absorbed that news and they came out yesterday and said, yep, but here's the problem. All of these athletes that had a chance to showcase exactly who they are, exactly what kind of ability they have, so that they could get drafted, have been denied this opportunity. So we got to hold the draft off until we get a position where the business of scouting players is back to normal. Well, that is going to delay a lot of things, because if we can play football this fall, we're going to play football this fall. My thought is you can change a lot of things once the draft occurs. You can also tell teams, okay, you can see players or you can sign players and let them compete for jobs with the guys you did draft. There's ways to fix it. There's ways to sort of allow that element into the way you do business in the National Football League. And trust me, there isn't going to be some kid that can play in the NFL not playing in the NFL because he didn't get a chance to showcase his skills. These people are, these agents, these player representatives, they're sharks, man. They're going to be hitting GMs. They're going to be hitting coaches. They're going to be showing tape. They're going to be getting their player in front of some of these guys. Trust me, that's what they do. That's their job. So I don't feel bad that we've cut pro days out, all of that. And be honest with you, a lot of the pro days really had everything to do with where you would take a player anyway, not whether or not you would take a player, right? In six rounds of the draft. The NFL needs to keep the business as usual, and I'm hoping that the critics do not sway this league to say, yeah, you know what, just out of a sensitivity thing to people who are cooped up, where people are struggling, we won't hold a draft where we make instant millionaires. I think most of us would just welcome some level of distraction, so I hope they keep it as is.